How y'all doing this morning? You all doing good? Come on, y'all doing great this morning? I'm having a great time. How many of y'all are having church today? Come on, y'all. Come on, this is a lot of fun. I haven't been with you. I've been mainly at our White Oak campus. Pastor Nick, the campus pastor there, he was really sick in July and even in August, but he's getting better. His strength is returning. Come on, we should thank God for that. I mean, it's a miracle. Had a real bad infection in his pelvis, but that's clearing up. Thank you, Jesus. He's getting stronger, and he's itching to come back, and he keeps telling me he's coming back, and I need to move over. So we're just keep praying for him. And so I've been mainly at White Oak and some other locations, but I get to be here today. And there's no place like home. Come on, that's what I believe in. And I'm excited to be here. Eric's been doing a great job, and Rachel, and with worship, and all y'all been doing great. Haven't y'all been doing great? Come on, just cheer somebody on right now. Wow, thank you. And Build My Church, that's this whole series that we've been in and talking about the body of Christ and the family of God. And today we're going to be talking about the whole temple of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be a temple of the Holy Spirit? And I don't know about you, but I believe we are in a very significant time in history as the United States of America, not just Jesus' church. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. I believe we're in this very significant time, and I believe that, you know, our hope is in Jesus Christ. He's the hope of the world, and there's nothing like Jesus' church when it's working like it should be, right? Nothing like it in the world. Come on. And that is our hope. And listen, I'm praying, and we're going to be sharing more in the month of October and praying more about the elections coming up. But this is a significant time. I'm just telling you right now. And Eric's going to communicate a little bit. Just if you're not registered to vote, we want you to vote. We want your voice to be heard. And so we're going to help you get registered in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Man, Jesus, Matthew 16:18, just your red letters. He said, I say to you, you're Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not be able to conquer it. And here's Jesus saying, like, I'm going to build my church. And that's what we've been talking about, how he builds his church. He builds his body, and he builds his family, and he builds the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we've been talking about, these three things. But you know what? With Jesus' church, there's assembly required. There's assembly required. So you got to put this thing together. Okay, now if you got toilet paper at IKEA, this is what it would look like right here. There we go, right there, there you go. And if you got a camera, that's what it would be like. How many of you ever got anything from IKEA? How many went there just once, and then yeah, that was it? Okay, that's it, yeah. I was cleaning. Listen, putting things together, there's assembly required. I realized I was cleaning out my garage recently, and I found all these bags of extra parts. Start thinking to myself, there's a whole bunch of stuff I put together that isn't quite together, okay? I did. I said, there's a problem with this. And so I did what any real man would do. I took those parts and I just threw them out. I said, if I haven't needed them at this point, they're good. We're good, you know? So I'm just believing those were extra. Those were extra, extra. But there's assembly required with the temple of God. And we want to share with you today about this assembly required. What is God building? And what does it really mean to be a habitation for God? A habitation for him and his presence. Now, I'm really excited. We prayed for overflow, over 150 ladies getting together. That's exciting. Last week, I was with the White Oak campus. They baptized 6 people last week. Tonight, East Liberty's baptizing 5 people. Come on, isn't that exciting? That's your church. Come on, there are still people, families being fed. There are still, we have 100 plus people right here at Murraysville signed up to be a part of a group, taking their next step. I'm excited about these things. Come on. That's the church of God. We're moving forward. We're moving in one direction. I know Eric mentioned it last week. We're celebrating 38 years as a church. I can't believe it. 38 years. And I was texting, I was sharing with a local pastor from the area here today. They're celebrating 7 years, so I was encouraging them. And I says, I don't mean to one-up you, but we're 38. And he goes, I will be someday. And I says, I pray and I'm going to be there to celebrate with you. Come on. That's how I want to keep celebrating what God's doing. That's what I want to celebrate here. So we're going to talk about the universal church, and then we're going to talk about the local church, and then we're going to talk about what makes up these things, you as a temple. So we're going to talk about the universal temple of God, the universal church, then the local church, the local temple of God. Then we're going to talk about you being a temple of the Holy Spirit. Y'all ready for that? Woo! Come on, y'all ready? Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, Apostle Paul's writing, verse 19. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are His. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. So here we go. First, you are far away from God. But now you're in the family of God, and now we're being built into a house for Him. It is on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. We cannot change the apostles and prophets. What is in the Word of God is in the Word of God. We do not change that. There are things that are clearly doctrinal, which, whether I agree with it or not, are true. So they're true. We can't change that. This is the universal church. People who are far away, Jesus Christ becomes the forgiver of their past, the leader of their future. God puts them in a local family or local church, a local house, right? And I want to let you know that foundations, there's nothing sexy about foundations. There's a group of homes going in near where we live, and I was amazed at how long it took to move all the dirt to get to the foundation where they could pour the foundation. It was like, they just kept moving dirt. It was like, are you ever going to build anything? I'm serious. It was like weeks and weeks and months. And like, all we could hear is like dirt moving. Because you got to move a lot of dirt before you can build the right foundation. But you need the right foundation or it's going to be faulty. And nobody ever comes to your home and says, can I look at your foundation? Unless you're selling your house or buying a house. Then you want to know about the foundation. That's the only time you care about the foundation. Other than that, it's there. And as long as you know it's still there, you're good. Because when you know it's not there, it's bad. Yeah, come on. And so foundations are foundations, but so we can't change that. Here's the foundation of Jesus' church here. In Cornerstone, the cornerstone, Jesus being the cornerstone, is very, very important. My dad was a bricklayer. And my dad could see a faulty foundation in brickwork from the street. As a matter of fact, he could drive by, he could look and say, this is what's wrong with that house. I can see this is what they did wrong. You know, I felt really good about the home I built until, not I built, but we purchased, and the way it was built until my dad showed up. And even though it's not brick, he said, there's a problem with the way they laid the foundation. I said, what? And he says, look at this and look at that, and this is what's going to happen. Everything he said that was going to happen over the last 13 years has happened to that foundation. The cornerstone is Jesus. And when you have two cornerstones, I remember helping my dad, and you'd build one corner, then the other, and then you would run a string across to the other side, and everything had to line up on that string. Now, working with him on more than one occasion, I was either handing something or climbing over something, and I knocked that plumb line out. And I learned as a very young boy, don't do that. Because when that line gets off, it's not good for everybody. Because that line, how you build, is so important. Let me try to say it this way. The doctrine that we believe is so very important because it determines actions in our life. Now, let me try to use an illustration here. I believe in four significant things that are important this November. These are not political, they're doctrinal. I am pro-life because I believe it's a biblical stand. I believe in pro-family. Marriage is between a man and a woman. I am pro-Israel. Even I'm not the smartest guy around, but I know if you mess with Israel, it doesn't go good with you. I'm sorry, I mean, just good old common sense will tell you that, but there's a biblical reason. And I am pro-church. Those doctrines, although you may not understand them biblically, are truly biblical. Our news cycles are telling us that they're political when really they're not political, they're biblical. They're spiritual, if you want to say it that way. And so if you believe that doctrine, then it causes you to act a certain way. Now, we can talk about those things, but we're going to talk about them in Jesus' church about a biblical concept of those things. Right? Now, because that's what I believe biblically, therefore it translates into every area of my life. But we separate this. And so now let me reel it back in and say, wait a minute, when I believe things biblically about Jesus' church, the universal church, how does that apply to my life now? Because we live in a very segmented world, and we don't believe in standards, and we don't believe in systems and structures sometimes until we need them. Listen, without standards, houses fall down. Decks fall off the back of people's homes. Mm-hmm. Fires start. I'm so thankful for standards. I'm very, very thankful for them. They drive me crazy, but I'm thankful for them. The same is true in God's church. When we believe that there's a foundation of the... I'm putting that over there because it's only a matter of time before it goes off, okay? And in Jesus' church, there's standards and systems. Now, here we go. Verse 21, we are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of his dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Okay, this is the universal church. Now let's talk about two things here. Holy. What does it mean to be a holy temple? It means to be set apart. It means that we have the nature of God distinctly different from the nature of this world. Holy is set apart. What we have here is holy. If you take out the holy part and you take out the spiritual part, we're nothing but a feeding program. We're just a daycare. This is just a song. This is just a sing-along unless it's holy unto God. See, this is holy. It's separate. It belongs to him. We have been called to be different. And we're special because we're different. Parents, listen to me. Don't start off telling your kids they're special. Start off telling your kids they're different, and because they're different, that makes them special. I want that to sink in. You're different than the world. And Jesus' church is spending a lot, that we're talking about the universal church, overall spends a lot of time trying to fit into the world rather than being separate from the world. Am I right? Now don't think I'm like picking on any denomination or church right now. I'm not. Preparing this, I have a lot of ouches on my own life. Okay? So please, this is not, I'm not, other churches, Bible-believing, Jesus-honoring churches are not our competition. I'm in a competition trying to keep people and remove them and get them off their journey to hell. That's the competition. And then when you get here, we're going to build you up and strengthen you because it's a holy temple. This belongs to God. He's the author of it. So a temple is a divine dwelling place. It's a place of divine manifestation. So God's universal church, and I'm so excited that I'm not only a part of Bridge City Church, but this past weekend, there was a group of pastors together, and I'm a part of a group of pastors that pray together and work together, and we support one another locally. And then I'm a part of a bigger group that's more maybe national, you know, because I want to be a part of something bigger than just me or this church. So you may not feel those effects, but that's what I want to be a part of, because we have to be a part of a universal something. That's what's so important here. That's what's so vital here. It belongs to God. God, and it requires a pattern. See, God in the Old Testament, his manifest presence was in a place. It was a place. It was a building. And many of us come here with the mentality that we are going to church because there's something holy about this place. When I come here during the week and there's nobody here, it's not really that holy. It's kind of cold and quiet and lonely. That's all it is. What makes it a holy habitation is you and me together. See, in the New Testament, God wants a people to dwell in. He wants a place where he can demonstrate his divine manifest presence. That's what makes this holy. That's what makes this different. That's what makes this special here. Now, who is the temple for? It's for God's glory. Now, I'm just going to give you a verse, Ephesians chapter 4. Actually, you can read 11 through 16. Write that down. You're going to want to study that. I can boil everything down. God's church is for his glory. It belongs to him. Now, it's good if you feel happy here, but we want you to be built up. There's two significant things. We want people to be edified, built up, and sanctified. Edified and sanctified, and then we want evangelism and we want salvations. Everything falls in one of two categories. We want you to be built up. We want you to grow to maturity. We want you to be set apart from the world, which is a process. Sanctification is a process, right? So we want you to be that, but we also want you to leave here, just like we prayed for edification today for all the groups, edification, order, authority. That's what we prayed for, that you'd be in the vision of the church in a group. But then we're praying for people to go out as well, that there's a commissioning from here so that people would see our lives and experience the divine manifestation of Jesus Christ. That's what the holy temple. I can boil everything down right into there. And the problem is when we want church, it's one thing that we feel welcome in Jesus' church, but it's a whole nother thing is does Jesus and the Holy Spirit feel welcome in his church? I want you to think about that. It's one thing, see, we're consumed with our being welcome, our comfortability, but really what we should be saying, Jesus, are you welcome here? No, really, is Jesus, are you welcome here? See, I want Jesus to do something so great in our city right now that no one church can get credit for it. Right. Amen. Good. Amen. I don't want credit for it. I just want it to be so big and so great that only Jesus could get credit for it. Amen. Wouldn't that be cool? That's what I want to be a part of. That's the universal church. That's how it works there. Those are the two things here. And so, if you take either one of these, personal edification or evangelism, and they become the main thing, you'll be out of order. If you only focus on one of those. You got to have both, and you have to have the tension of both. If you don't have the tension of both of those, it's going to make one side of the body is going to be strong and the other side is going to be weak. So we have to have both. We have to have a maturing of people, and then we also need to be more people experiencing God. Are you with me? Okay, that's the universal church. Now let's jump to the local church. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Track me here. Y'all still tracking? Y'all good? 1 Corinthians 3, Apostle Paul's writing to the church in Corinth. For we are both God's workers, verse 9, and you are God's field. You are God's. There we go. Because of God's grace to me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be. For no one can lay any foundation than the one we already have in Jesus Christ. So he says, okay, there's foundational things that you got to have in a church. And now here's a local church. So you got to be built on the cornerstone, tied together for a purpose. You all good? And then he says, like an expert builder, a master builder would typically start a project that took two more generations to fulfill. An expert builder, that translates to master builder. Master builders would typically, they would have to have enough ingenuity, enough vision forward, that they would start a project they knew they couldn't finish, but they had to pass on the blueprints and plans to the next generation to finish. Are you tracking me here? As a church, we must be multi-generational. We must be. It's a mandate from heaven. And you know one of the most exciting things about the connection groups here at Bridge City Church? And I'm so thankful. This right now I'm seeing it. Most of our groups are multi-generational. Because we all seek to be around people just like us. Because after all, we all love ourselves. We do. We want to be with people just like us because we think we're it. I'm serious. But when you cross that generational line, something great happens. And I'm so thrilled about that. Now, the tension of how to keep that is really hard. It's really, really difficult. So we got to be careful as subcontractors. Let's go on. Verse 12. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. And on judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any values. I'm not a real fan of that verse, but it's a true verse. We got to be careful. I know that I'm going to stand before God and give an account of what happened at Bridge City Church. That puts the fear of God in me. You want to know why I'm awake sometimes at 2 a.m.? That's it. I'm not fear, oh, dread, terror of God. I just say, God, I want to get this right. I just want to get it right. So we're going to have to decide how we build. And I'm thankful for standards, because if you don't have standards in the local church, it's everybody doing whatever they want. I don't know about your home. I know Eric ministered on this already. Your family, it's not everybody in your family deciding what's best. That's chaos. Am I right? You can't have that. No. We got to work together at this. So here it is. Gold, silver, and jewels can stand the pressure of heat and fire. Gold speaks of the divine word of God. Silver speaks of redemption. It's a lifestyle energized by the Holy Spirit. And jewels are precious stones, which really translates marble or granite. It means that we're motivated by love. If we build by these things, we're going to be strong. It's going to stand. But if we build with faulty word, if we build with faulty lives that are not energized by the Holy Spirit, and if we don't have covenant relationships which cement us together, that will be faulty and will not stand the test of time. That's the simplest I can explain all that to you. So what are we going to build on? We're going to build on the word of God, lifestyles that are part of something bigger on the cornerstone. I'm in plumbing the plumb line. I'm working this things out here. There are community standards. Everything must line up on the plumb line. I am very, very passionate and very excited about something that we're starting here, something we did years ago, and we're going to pick it up again. In two Sundays from right now, from 6 to 7:30 every Sunday, we're starting a Grow Foundations. We're just going to start a Foundations. And if you want to know more about the Grow Foundations, you can. It's 6 to 7:30. It's going to be held at North Braddock. I'll be there most of the time when I'm not at East Liberty. I'm at East Liberty preaching most Sunday nights. When I'm not there, I'm going to be at class. And Pastor John Schaefer is going to be leading it. He's going to be teaching it. It's going to have things like the Word of God, prayer and fasting. Matter of fact, if you want one of these right now, the ushers are going to hand you one. It says everything that's going to be in the class. You just slip up your hand if you think you might want one. And if you don't have one, we'll take pictures and text it to you later. And we'll just keep your hand up. Listen, I want you to be a part of this. It's just going to be the Word of God, prayer and fasting, salvation, fellowship, baptism, the church, hindrances. It's stuff that, you know, some of you may know, but you know what? How many of y'all know that it all comes down to the basics? Y'all thankful for the basics? Here, you can have mine.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thank you. Awesome. See you there. If they don't have any, just see Connection Point. They'll snap a picture and give it to you one later. Okay, but we'll get you that. You can get signed up. I'm passionate about this because we want you to grow. Y'all good? Okay, that's why the Word of God and being energized by the Holy Spirit is so important. Now, we can mess this thing up. You know, Jesus said that the power of hell will not stop us, right? Matthew 16:18. So guess who does have the power to stop us expanding the kingdom of God and building his church? We do. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you. That word sorrow is we bring deep emotional pain to the Holy Spirit when we bring all of these things into Jesus' church. When we bring bitterness, anger, rage, slander, when we bring those into the church. Now, how many of y'all know, when we all come to Jesus, we're filled with those things. What I'm saying is after you get sanctified, and as you get sanctified, and there's a process where those things are being removed from your life, if you continue to bring those in, you'll continue to bring sorrow, intense pain to the Holy Spirit. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't know about you, but I definitely don't think that's a good idea. Now, let me go back to 1 Corinthians. I want to complete this thought. I don't hear the verses I'm about to give to you preached very often in Jesus' church. But I want to read them to you in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you realize that all of you together are the of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Remember, he's talking about plural you. God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. For God's temple is holy. You are that temple. I want this to sink in, that when we destroy or defame or cause moral deterioration or lower the standards of Jesus' church, what we're really doing. Now, I want you to grab this. I want you to catch this. Because I watch people all the time defaming Jesus' church. And if this is the Word of God, is this in the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, if we cause deterioration of Jesus' church, if that's the truth, the Apostle Paul said, God doesn't sit idly and just watch that happen. And we can do it through dissension, discord, and division. All of those things are used of the enemy. They're used of the devil to destroy Jesus' church. I've been at this in this church 38 years. My experience tells me that the people who point at the church and point out all the problems the most are the ones who defame it the most. Just my observation. Didn't preach a doctrine. I'm sharing with you my point of view. That was just my point of view. But we need to be careful here. It would be like to me if I said, hey, I got a 3-egg omelet here for you. One of the eggs was bad, but I just went ahead and mixed it up with all the others. You'll never know. How many of y'all like, oh, okay. How many of y'all would feel that way? Oh, that no problem. Like when you're eating out or you take a bite of the potatoes and there's a big long hair. Do you keep eating? No, I'm serious. I'm not continuing to eat. First of all, I'm looking for a free meal. And then I'm looking for a different meal. Right? So even if we're the one that puts the hair in the mashed potatoes, that's not good. I'm trying to say a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so we need to be careful how we build. That's the point of this. In Proverbs 6:19, there's six things, yes, seven the Lord detests. One is discord in a family. It's like a haughty look. It's hands that shed innocent blood are the same way as discord. Now, I'm trying to get your attention here when we talk about the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple, is it holy? Is it really for God? And is it really a place of our lives being a demonstration of the divine manifestation of God? And is there standards that we have to protect the divine manifestation of God? I love standards. I don't know about you, but I do. Because without them, people get hurt. That's what happens. That's why this is so important. That's why we do things the way we do at Bridge City Church. Come on. Are you tracking me today? I want you to have a picture. And what this whole thing was all about the last couple weeks, and I've been listening to Eric's messages, and they're great. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish I would have said it better like he did. And I'm like, oh, this is so good. Because if we don't have a glimpse of God's glory in his church, we make it all about us. Giving to Jesus' church is not sacrificing. It's just what we do. And it's subtle things that come in. It's the little seeds that come in. It's the little bit of division. It's the little bit of discord. It's the little bit of, I don't need to do it that way. I have a better way. Are you with me? Like, if people that have been to my home, and it's funny, we put a lot of people outside on our deck, out in our deck. And on more than one occasion, somebody will be out there and go, I don't know if this can handle that many people. I am so thankful that it was built to handle thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds. I know that because we did, I know that, like, when my wife and I start having a party, it grows quickly. And there's going to be a lot of people there. So I wanted it built stronger and bigger and better than that can support everything. So we put extra everything into it because I wanted to be able to stand. And then I wanted somebody to come and inspect it to make sure that it was built properly. See, when you have nothing to hide, you don't mind somebody inspecting your work. When you have nothing to hide, you don't mind. Your life's an open book, am I right? The only people that don't like that is people with something to hide. Like, no, don't look at me. Okay, what's this temple built of? Okay, now I'm going to go to you as an individual. Talked about the universal church. Talked about Jesus' local church, Bridge City Church. We have standards. We have systems. We have processes. We have the way we do things for a purpose and a reason, for edification and evangelism, for sanctification and salvation, to help you grow to maturity. You with me? Okay, here we go. 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Apostle Paul, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. Paul switched. He's talking to you because he's talking about sexual immorality. He's talking about things in your life that can pollute and defile the whole. We don't start pointing out those things, but we want to help you understand these things because you don't have to live that way anymore because of what Jesus has done for you. Totally different, right? doesn't say go get your act together and then come. No, come as you are, but don't leave as you were. Big difference, am I right? Big difference. Come as you are, it's good. Don't try to clean yourself up because Jesus can do a better job. But when you come to him, you no longer belong to yourself. It's not you. It's not your rights. It's not what I get to do. I just don't like it that way. It doesn't matter. When we were building our deck, then nobody asked me, you know, how deep the footer should be. Because I didn't even know we needed one. Nobody asked me those things because I need to go to somebody who knows that answer. Are you with me? Okay, 1 Peter 2. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. I'm putting it together for you. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. All this is to please God, and that's why we do it all. You say, Pastor Rick, like, please give me a better revelation. This is an old one. No, this is one we got to go back and revisit. What we do is spiritual, and what we have here is holy. Our lives being joined together in such a way that brings honor and glory to God for a divine manifestation of his presence. But the problem is that we come to him as living stones, and what we're telling God is, hey, God, I want you to fit into me. I want your system to fit me. I want what your standards to fit me. And what we should be saying is, I have some rough edges. Take them off, God, so I can fit into your holy temple. No, you got some rough edges. Just look at your neighbor and say, I think he might be talking to you. Come on, just I think. Come on, who doesn't have rough edges? My first job, my head nurse told me every day she saw me, you're a piece of work. Every day she saw me, you're a piece of work. Every day she just reminded me. I said, yes, I am. You're just a work in progress, nurse. That's what she used to tell me. I said, yes, I am. Put me in. But we got to get the rough edges, so I need to fit into what he's building, a spiritual house. You know, I was sitting here yesterday. We had a leadership meeting here, and churches from around Pittsburgh, a lot of leaders here. And I was just staring at this wall with the cross, and this isn't a typical brick, you know, plumb line brick, but I was just looking at all these stones on this wall here, each of them unique. And different. Different colors, different shapes, different sizes. Probably came from different backgrounds. I thought that was good. But together, it's beautiful. No, I'm serious. Like, I was just sitting here yesterday. I was right here, and I was like, man, that became something beautiful and useful for God. That's a picture of our lives. See, you take any one of those out of there right now and just peel it out, your attention would be drawn there and go, what just happened? It would weaken every other stone around it. It would weaken. It's beautiful all together, but it's there to hold the cross. It's not there to say, oh, you're the best stone. Oh, you're special. You special. You're doing such a good job. I just love you. No, I'm serious. Like, think about that. No, we want people to see the cross. And we can't do without all these fit together. And you're a part of this that fits together. Cemented and held together by love, a covenant of love. Are you with me? Stand to your feet with me. Come on, are you tracking me today? I don't just want God to fit into me. I want to fit into him. And so this is what this is the difference in why we have next steps. And if you're not a member here, you're not a part, we want you to be a part. But we want you to have standards. We want you to know that there's a process and there's standards and there's a system by which we do things because it provides protection for you. Are you with me? That's what I'm trying to say. And so I learned this from my pastor, Pastor Keith. And he says, there's two things you always got to ask yourself. And so I want you to ask, I'm going to ask you these questions. Did God call you to be a part of this church? And then, am I really your pastor? I'm not asking for, don't text me. I'm not asking for two winks, don't do that. What I'm asking for is, those are good questions. Those are really good questions because we have to ask ourselves, am I really a part here? Am I really called to be a part? And if I really have a pastor and there's really a spiritual temple being built, and I don't belong to myself, I belong to something bigger and better, and that settles most of the decisions I need to make. I know some of you started to squirm at that, but I want it to sink in. I challenge you to go back and read the verses, read this word. I challenge you to get this in your heart. I want us to be built into a holy habitation that's expanding and growing. See, when I think about people going out to do an outreach today, I'm going to tell you what I think of. Immediately, I start thinking, maybe we could plant a church there. Maybe we could plant a campus there. That's just how I think. Because when I read the Bible, it's about expansion. It's about that's what we do. Why wouldn't you want to do that? I want to make heaven bigger and hell smaller. And I want everybody here to be built up and mature and growing in Christ. Who's with me? You there? That's what I want. And I'm not going to ask you today for some commitment to the church. That's not my purpose right now. I'm just trying to ask you real questions to digest in your heart. But I do want to stop right now and ask you a serious question. I want to ask you if you are a holy living stone that's being used for God. How you become that is you got to begin a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. It's not your good works. It's not your own deeds. You can't be good enough. You can't earn it. It's not the lottery system. You receive the gift of forgiveness when you ask for it and saying, God, I'm sorry, I have sinned, I have messed up. I want to repent, I want to change directions. I want a change of mind and a change of heart that changes my direction. And I want you, Jesus, to be the leader of my life. And I don't only want to go to heaven when I die, I want heaven here on earth. That's what I'm really want. I want heaven here on earth. That's what I'm looking for. That's really why, come on, that's what it's excited me. I'm great with heaven. I can't wait to get there. And it's going to be much better than here. But I'm going to tell you, I want heaven here on earth. And that happens when I become a follower of Jesus Christ, a part of his holy church. And so before you become a part of a church, are you a part of Jesus? And I want to offer you today. No, and I want to offer you today as your day that you begin a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And so right now, Heavenly Father, every person who can hear my voice right now, wherever they are, whatever they're doing right now in their own heart, with their heart beating and palms sweaty, Lord God, and they're trying to figure this out, if they don't have a day and if they don't have a moment, Lord God, let today be theirs. And God, I implore them, Lord God, as if Jesus were imploring. Jesus, you are imploring through me, God. Let these words sink into hearts today. And so if you are here today and you want today to be your day where you begin a relationship with God the Father and you want to join the whole bunch of people, even in the last couple weeks, that became followers of Jesus, I want you to do something really bold. I just want you to right now, just raise your hand and just say, that's me, Pastor. I need it today. Anybody here today that you'd like today to be your day, anybody at all, just want to offer you this moment in time. Anybody here at all, going once, going twice, going three times. Lord, I thank you, Father, that so many people here know you and experience you, Lord. And I thank you that you're building your church, God, that you would continue to make Bridge City Church a place that you're happy to put your name on. God, thank you for that. So God, thank you, thank you, thank you. And God, that next week, and the week after, and the week after that, let there be many people respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a great big hand. And you can be seated. Go ahead and be